A reading from the first letter of St. John. Children, it is the last hour, and just as you heard that the Antichrist was coming, so now many Antichrists have appeared. Thus we know this is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not really of our number. If they had been, they would have remained with us. Their desertion shows that none of them was of our number. But you have the anointing that comes from the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you, not because you do not know the truth, but because you do, and because every lie is an alien to the truth. The word of the Lord.
Rejoice and earth be glad. Let the sea and all within it thunder praise. Let the land and all it bears rejoice. Then will all the trees of the wood shout for joy. Let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. At the presence of the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with justice. He will govern the peoples with his truth.
Thank you. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Ioannem. A reading from the beginning of the Holy Gospel according to John. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came to be through him, and without him, nothing came to be. What came to be through him was life, and this life was the light of the human race. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. A man named John was sent from God. He came for testimony, to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came to be through him, but the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, but his own people did not accept him. But to those who did accept him, he gave power to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not by natural generation, nor by human choice, nor by a man's decision, but of God. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we saw his glory, the glory as of the Father's only begotten Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'The one who is coming after me ranks ahead of me, because he existed before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace, because while the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only begotten Son, God, who is at the Father's side, has revealed him." Verbum Domini. Tonight, a lot of people, matter of fact, in many parts of the world, they've already well started to celebrate that this year is over and a new year is beginning. They're celebrating already in Fiji, where the international time zone is. There's a Catholic church right there on the timeline, and so they're the first to celebrate. And New Zealand, Australia, it'll keep moving across the world as we celebrate the beginning of a new year. We, though, keep focus not on the beginning of a new year, but on the beginning of salvation. This is our focus. And we have this reading from the gospel to conclude the year with a reflection on where our true identity and beginning lies. That is, in the Word made flesh. We've been celebrating that for the last week. You know, with Christmas Eve and Christmas, we celebrate that the Word became flesh. And this is a tremendous celebration. But there are other elements for us to consider with this prologue to the Gospel of St. John. It begins and ends by talking about who Christ is even before he became flesh. That is, he's the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's the Word through whom everything comes into being. But then, as we see toward the end, that he is described as the only begotten Son, God, who's at the Father's side, and who has known him from the beginning. Notice that those two parallels at the beginning and at the end. He's called the Word and then the Son of God. Why? Why that distinction? This goes to some of the big arguments in the early church about Christ's identity, and arguments that still continue on by some various groups that exist to this day. By talking about Jesus as the Son, we are showing that he has the same nature as the Father. He is this one divine nature, because fathers beget what they themselves are. As many of times as my parents might have said, you guys are a bunch of wild monkeys, we actually were not monkeys. We were my parents' children, and we were humans. As much as they tried to deny it, and as much as my behavior contradicted it, it was still a human being that needed correction, because humans only give birth to humans. Monkeys give birth to monkeys. And God begets God. This is showing that his divine nature is truly and fully the same divine nature as the Father. But see, some people want to make, they still have this temptation. There are lots of Christian groups still today. Some of them go back to, they didn't go back, but they had the same kind of mistake showing up in the late 200s, where they say, well, if he's the same nature, therefore Jesus is the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. He's all three persons. No, 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 you missed something here. You missed something. In the beginning, he's called the Word. And this is important for seeing the difference between the Father and the Son, because the Son is this Word that is spoken by the Father. And that shows the distinction between Father and Son. They have the same nature, but there's also a difference in their relationship. And when we use words like I'm using now, when we use words, when we talk about ourselves, words are self-expression. So often, we have poets that want to express themselves, and just like artists want to express themselves. Sometimes I wish they wouldn't, but rather seek to express the truth, because often their art is very ugly and their poetry sounds dumb. But we want the infinite self-expression of the Father. That's who Jesus, the Word made flesh, is. He is infinite God, because again, the Father begets a Son who has the same infinite divine nature. And it's an infinite Word that is the infinite and complete self-expression of the Father. You want to know the Father, you know Jesus. When Philip says later in the gospel that Father, Jesus, show us the Father, says, How long have you been with me? Don't you know that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father? Because he is that expression of the Father. He's not the same person, but he is the complete self-expression of the Father. That's why in every chapter of the gospel through chapter 17, our Lord Jesus says, everything I say to you, everything I do, comes from my Father. He's not there about himself. He's there as the Father's perfect self-expression. And we even know that God is Father. Again, some Christian groups try to go off on tangents, and they'll say, well, he's the Father, Mother. No. This is not by gender. No. It's the Father. And the Father's name is what sanctifies us. We say, hallowed be thy name, sanctified be thy name in the Lord's Prayer. But in Jesus' prayer to the Father, he says, Father, sanctify them by your name. Because Jesus is that self-expression of the Father. And I was thinking about this. You know, in some states, if you identify somebody by the wrong gender, you can pay a big fine, up to $200,000 in New York, I heard. I don't know what the penalty is for misidentifying the Father's gender, but I wouldn't take the risk. No, Jesus expresses who the Father is. In John, see, there was a group of people, we even see them show up in Acts chapter 19, who believed that John the Baptist was the Messiah. And there were groups that reappeared, for instance, in Persia, all the way down through the 500s and 600s AD. And St. John the Evangelist is saying, no, he's a witness. He points to the Father. And we'll see this repeated a number of times in the gospel. And we see that here in the second part of this and in the second to last part. But the center of this is that he came, Jesus, the Word, who is the Son of God, came into the world and became flesh and made his dwelling among us. A line that we use when we pray the Angelus as sort of the high point of the scripture passages in the Angelus, great prayer to say every day, and to remind ourselves that he still dwells among us, because he not only came into Bethlehem, but right before he ascended into heaven, he said, know that I am with you until the end of the age. He remains with us in order to give us his grace and his truth, in order to give us his life that brings light into the darkness of our world. As we heard in the first reading from the first letter of St. John, which was written most likely as a preface to the whole gospel, he sent that as a cover letter to the church in Ephesus to let them know what is coming up. It's sort of like an overture to the gospel. And in this, he says, there are many antichrists who won't speak the truth. There are antichrists who will come up, many of them. Though at the end of time, there'll be one great antichrist, yes. But there are many other antichrists. Some of us have been alive during their lifetimes. One of the most popular antichrists, for those who like antichrist, is Hitler. Stalin was worse than Hitler. Pol Pot and Mao Zedong were worse in terms of what they did. No one was as destructive as Mao Zedong. He is an antichrist. There are others who cause us to have a hatred for life. There are those who oppose life and light, who oppose truth, who want to stifle it. These are antichrists, oftentimes minor. You know, pipsqueak antichrists, we can call them. Karl Marx, ideas, no action, but instigates bad action. You know, many others that have come up. We are called to believe in Jesus, the Word made flesh, and receive his grace, receive his truth, and not only receive his light that is life for the world, but to become lights within our world, as he told his disciples in the Gospel of Matthew. Let us be faithful to him always.